Rabbi Rabbi say lessons from the lave. We are, Baruch Hashem, have the great tzichus of starting Sefer Shemos, starting the Parsha of Shemos. And this starts a very, very important time of the year that we should very much take very, very seriously. And as it starts, we know that the Shovavim, this year actually called Shovavim Tat, which is, of course, the Rosh Tevos of all the Parshios that we'll be reading now, as the Parshios of Golos starts. Shmos Vayirubo, B'shach Yisro, Mishpatim, and this year Truman Tzava, because we have two Adars. And we know that this is the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, and I would very much caution you to say that this is something Chassidish. Yes, I know Rav Nachman of Breslov speaks about this, the Baal Shem Tov speaks about this a lot, and they've taken it to something that's very, very unique. But the Rav Abu Chatzera, the Baba Sali, and way before that, according to a shir I was listening to last night from Rav Mordechai Elio Zatzal, this is already discussed in the Rishonim. What became more popular, as Rav Mordechai Elio says, is this Tanis Dibor. In the yeshivas of the Mukubalim, Mondays and Thursdays, every Monday and Thursday, now until Purim, they fast. Specifically on Thursdays, it's a special Mesugal time. People, that's where the Tikkun HaKloli came into place, that people should say it every day. Tanis Dibor, and a Tanis, really to take a real Tanis, but Rav Mordechai Elio was talking about the godless of a Tanis Dibor. This was something that is not, it came out in the Rishonim discussed it, but he said it really the last 100 years it became something that people stopped speaking. It doesn't mean that you don't speak to people, but it means you're very careful with how you speak. It could mean maybe that you don't speak at all, but most probably that you revolve yourself around Torah and you take, whether it's a day or a few hours, you know, the famous Chafetz Chaim Tanis Dibor, you know, from 3 to 4 in the morning, I don't speak, and it doesn't make sense to you guys because you're probably still up at 3 or 4 in the morning, but a real thing to take upon ourselves. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas discusses this Indian of Shovavim. And he says, what is the idea? Why now? Heim zmanim misugalim biyoter le'avoidas to work on this. Al taharas ha-machshavos. On what we think about, in the tshuva for averus that are kashur, le'taiva, and specifically shmiras habris. This is something that is not unique to men. Sometimes people make a mistake. Again, I was researching this a lot because I don't know a lot about this. As I just pointed out, this is not my topic. I don't think I've ever discussed Shovavim in detail because it's something that's very, very scary to me. But it shouldn't be scary because it's something that I want to myself work on for the next number of weeks. And Shmir Sabris sounds like a very, off topic, especially for, you know, people who are Shir Bet. It's a Shana Aleph thing. So the answer, of course, is that's not true at all. It applies to women as well, as Amir Cohen was speaking about, right? It takes two to tango. So it's also talking about anything you've ever done. It's interesting because we have a general concept that we try to forget about what we've done before. But a person should think about Pekimah Sabris, about not being Shomer Negiah, about all these different inyanim, and about being sneers, and how we talk, and the lashonis that we use, and what we watch, and how we justify sometimes saying, well, you know, the movie in itself is rated R, but there's only like a few nude scenes on it. Baruch Hashem, my in-laws left for 3 months out of the country. It's Baruch Hashem, they should be bari v'shalim, they should have, you know, safe flight, everything should go well, blah, blah, blah. And my mother-in-law was saying how funny it is that on the plane, I don't know if you, like when a movie starts sometimes, when it's a movie that's a little, you know, R-rated, it says, please make sure, you know, that the people around you are okay with watching this movie, which seems, doesn't make any sense on the plane. Well, you know, excuse me, Chaim Yankiv, I'm watching this movie, is that okay with you? Wolf of Wall Street's okay, you know, it doesn't make any sense with a little kid next to you. I like Wolf of Wall Street, thank you for, you know, it's a little strange. But for ourselves, we should say that. We should look at that and saying, United is talking to the Jewish people, saying maybe this is not something you should watch. Even though, you know, they're going to black out maybe some of the scenes. It's really something. So we happened to be, after she said that, my niece said something really funny. She was once on a flight, and it was my brother-in-law, right, her father, her brother, and her. And a Hasidish guy comes, and he says, look, my whole row is all women. I know you probably want to sit next to your family. Would you mind? And he was really nice about it. So she's like, oh, yishkoyach, okay, fine. Very nice of her to do. So she said, uh, she sat down on it, and she said she couldn't believe it. This guy, the whole flight, was watching. I'm not telling you the names of these movies, but he was a Hasidic guy watching movies the whole time. She's like, all of a sudden, he's so machmir on her, and so forth. And then she sat next to a woman who had a cat, and unfortunately, the cat got out of the cage. And it was, yes, she thought she was dreaming, and this cat's been all over again. So, but in its yesod, this is what we're concentrating on. Our machshavos, right? Who are we? Are we real people? B'tahara. And then, so why now? So we know that the Shibud Mitzrayim, obviously, was something that was very, very difficult. And it is called, many times over, by the way, the Kor HaBarzel. The Kor HaBarzel. So the Psukim speak about this idea. What exactly is the essence of the concept of Kor HaBarzel? So there are many different interpretations of it, but just to give you an idea where it's first mentioned in the Parshas of Eschanan, V'etchem lakach Hashem v'etziu etchem mi Kor HaBarzel. It's only afterwards does Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people, I'm reminding you, I took you out of this Kor HaBarzel. Kor HaBarzel can be explained as literally something that is very, very difficult. They were mamash beaten. They were it was difficult. Avodah kasha, avodas parech. Or Kor HaBarzel is explained as something that is actually used to cover something expensive. Gold is put into a Kor HaBarzel to protect it. And it says, I did something with this Kor HaBarzel, this difficulty to get you out of something. And it's repeated over and over again in the Malachim, for example. Yirmiyahu, I took you out Shetziva Eschem, Biyom Hotzia Otam, Mi Eretz Mitzrayim, Mi Kor HaBarzel. Yecheskel, Mishle, Mitzrayim, Lekesav, Lekor HaBarzel. This is the explaining of the Kor of the Zahav that was in it. So we have to understand what is exactly this Kor HaBarzel. It was a makom that allowed Bnei Yisrael, like the gold, to be protected. Right? Let's remind ourselves that you have this duality on one hand of Bnei Yisrael being taken out of Mitzrayim early, 210 years, because they were on the 49th level of Tumah. And one more level of Tumah, it would have been the worst thing in the world. But on the other hand, we learn that the schus of Bnei Yisrael getting out of Mitzrayim is because they were shalem. Shalem means, as the pasuk says, the word shalem. So we interpret it as saying that they were shalem is lo shima, that they didn't change their names, their lashon and the malbush. Shame, shalem stands for shame, levush, right, and malbush. Sorry. Shimam, lashon, malbush. They always dressed like a Jew. They spoke Hebrew, and their names kept Jewish. So there was some sort of protection over here of this idea of Kor HaBarzel. As I saw pointed out, Matarat HaShibud Haita Ha'avir Et Yisrael, to make Bnei Yisrael, to almost like bring them towards, like when you go to the mikvah, to make them Zikuk L'Nikiyut, that they will be able to be cleaned. It's interesting, as I mentioned this morning about Ephraim and Manasseh, the uniqueness of their bracha was that Yaakov Avinu said, I want you to be Kiruvein v'Shimon, because they were the first born outside of Eretz Yisrael. They're the gullus babies. And this, Yaakov realized, would be Bnei Yisrael. We know that Yaakov Avinu, when he comes to Mitzrayim, brings Atzei Shittim, because he knows that everything looks good now, but it's not going to be very good very soon. In our parsha, it starts off with this crazy idea. And when we understand something, the Forshim say it was the same king. He knew who Yosef was. He just forgot about Yosef. So quickly, we're in a country, and all of a sudden, they forget about what the Jews have done for them. That's this nikios of understanding that. The uniqueness of Ephraim and Manasseh and who they were. We spoke about this morning, this idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The idea of reminding ourselves that we're not where we should be. And therefore, we live in such a world of Tumah. It is remarkable. It is difficult for a person to even travel in New York City, especially in the summer. But the posters have become, oh, that's all of a sudden it's Mutter now. You can look at that, look at this, and it's hard. Times Square. It's hard, right? Times Square and all the... And to look at in the subway and this, it's very difficult. Histoclus has become a thing, and you turn it on the TV. Right? It used to be like when I grew up, They used to be, after 10 o'clock, right? There was no, weren't allowed to say any inappropriate words and no nudity, right? Now, all of a sudden, I think maybe they moved it to 8 o'clock and that innuendos, everything's mutter. And it gets into our mind, this kor habarzel. But it was a makom shezra pinkis of tihur etz am Yisrael. And that's what shovavim is. It's the time for us to concentrate on doing tshuva, tzfilos, avodas Hashem. And Baruch Hashem, we're not in the times of a Mitzrayim. Right? One thinks of Kor HaBarzel, you think about the Holocaust. The difficulty of that time. So we have to concentrate on that. We have to understand that there is a michshol in our avodas Hashem. We might think that everything's great and everything's wonderful, but it's not. Because at the core of the Kor HaBarzel, the fundamentals of this Kor HaBarzel is that we're being held almost captive with things that are holding us down from Avodas Hashem. And of course, as he says, Bizmanenu, in our time, the Gedol, the Gidrei Snius, Kedusha, Tara, has become a joke in our generation. Even laws of Snius have been neglected. And it's difficult for a person even to go to shul when all of a sudden Snius became something that isn't what it should be. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to go ahead and move to Ramat Beit Shemesh Bet and look down when we speak to women. And it doesn't mean that at all. The parashas actually remind us of the fact that we're allowed to be in Gullus. As we said, Ephraim's name, we give Hodah to the Ribbono Shalom, that we can live in a place where we can do Avodas Hashem and be part of the country and be able to work and be able to do that. And we have to fight this Yetzirah. Yes, there is one way of looking at it and saying, I won't have the Yetzirah. And maybe there is a godless to, and I mean this, some of the things that the Haredim take upon themselves, right? Sometimes you may have never experienced this before. I'm sure you've all been in, Yesh, where a woman will not hand you the money. And she puts it on the thing. Okay, so she's being extra machmir. She doesn't even want a chashash of maybe touching you by mistake. And I don't know if you ever had this before, but I've had this many times, but I didn't understand in the beginning. I remember we got our, when we were in America, I got my svarim shrunk, it's called, to put your svarim in the bookcases. And the woman calls me and he goes, Shalom Aleichem, Mr. Hartstein. I'm like, it's Daniel. She's like, okay, Mr. Hartstein, your svarim will be ready. I remember because she said it. Your svarim will be ready. It's going to be delivered around right after Shavuos. Shavuos, Shemitah years. I'm like, 3 years? What are you talking about? No, Shavuos is Shavuos. I'm like, oh, okay. But she refused to call me Daniel, Mr. Hartstein. So there's no kiruv. Something to that. Okay, I get it. Says Rav Pinkas, Shavuos Elo, Haskula, Hamyuchedet. The Rizal, the Zohar writes this. The Tar Vesilo, Hamichikov, there's a special time. This time is special to work on these things. And there are great minhagim that people have taken upon themselves. He writes specifically, we spoke about Mondays and Thursdays fasting. He writes here specifically on Thursday things that people do. The Chazei Kedusha, the Yom Imelu. He gives one example, which I think is a great example, which I'm sure doesn't mean anything to you because obviously you're doing it already, but okay. And I'll bring example number two. Min avodim uchedes, hamukeret nefesh adam, shmiros oiso mikol ha-rois, and his chorus, he kriya shma alamita. We know that originally Kriya Shema Alamita was one perek. It was Shema Alamita, Yishkoyach, and go to sleep. And now we see that it's become a whole tefillah against the mazikim, l'shuasecha kivishu asem, right? Yoshe b'seiser kelyon. There are all these tefillahs and literally protecting us against what could happen to us at night. And therefore he writes that we should have special kavanah, that we should never miss a night of Kriya Shema Alamita. As Chazal tells us, Gemara in Brachos and Daf Ches, Daf Hey, excuse me. Kol Akore Kriya Shema Al Mitasu Ki Ilu Oiches Cherev Shel Shtei Pios Biyodo. You're holding two swords in your hand. Say to the Masim, get out of here. Don't lead me astray. And he says, Noida, it gives us an opportunity to kill the Machzikim. The Taivas and Machshavas Rois that people have at night. That's what Kriya Shema is supposed to do. And people speak, he says, the nimsa kriyash malamita totally harbe hatzlacha sa'odam binyin hazeh. If a person wants to make sure that his night is tahor, and he doesn't have inappropriate dreams, he doesn't have inappropriate thoughts, Kriyat Shema Alamita should be said bekavana gadol. That's what he writes. Obviously, right, you don't say it by heart. You don't say it. Okay, there's a machlekes we're not going to get into now. Maybe after we shut off the lessons from the Lev about the bracha, do you say the bracha alamita or not? Many people, of course, the minhag ha'olam is to say it. But that's not the point. The point is to set yourself. V'yalkein b'yomim elu l'hachzik miyuchad b'amiris kol say the kriya shema b'layla b'kavana. We should say it b'kavana. Slowly. So that during this time, there's no kitrug against us, especially in this time. I want to add to this what I've told boys every year of my life when I've given them advice. I speak about the bookends. The bookends are specific to the night. But when you wake up in the morning and you go to sleep, the first and last thing you should be doing is learning. When a person sits in davening every morning inside of his tefillin bag, not in the tefillin bag itself, the plastic, whatever, he should have a sefer. Be a small sefer, it could be anything. It could be something little like this. Oh, right? Oh, this is a sefer Tehillim. Okay, that's not what I meant.
Does it have like but, at the bottom?
Right, could, like, learn the right, you could learn that. Or a person has a little mini Mishnah Berurah like I have, right? And all I do is two halachas a day. And in, I don't know how many years, Baruch Hashem, or Zoycha to, oh yeah, it has halachas in the back. I was Zoycha to finish Mishnah Berurah, now I'm on Bir Halacha. And then I realized a few Mishnah Berurahs. It's funny because as you start doing it, I realized in the days I must have been very tired. And I see, because I makbid to underline, because that shows that I did it. And then I see that, and I underline it, and a lot of times I'll write on the side like a summary of what the Mishnah Berurah said. And I could see the days that I must have been very tired because I see the lines are not so good. And so sometimes I'm going over some of those Mishnah Berurahs now. We're in Hilchos Brachos now. Not so pushing. Hard stuff. But that's important. I don't care if it's most, I don't care what it is. There's an Indian to learn halacha dafka, but that's not the point. And then when you go to sleep at night, no matter what time it is, no matter what else you've done, I don't care if you're coming from the Beis Medrash, which obviously all of you are, right? You end off with some Torah, another sefer. I don't care a few lines from it. I mean, Seals Yishev in English. I don't care. Bookends. Wow. Well, that will make your Kriya Shema even better. So that's number one. It's interesting because during Shovavim, the Arizal has an Arichas on this, and I am not an Arizal expert by any means, but I heard a great summary of it, and a great tikkun of why Dafka during this time we call it Shovavim. There were two specific times where Pritzus was so in your face. That was the Dor HaMagbul and the Dor HaFlaga. The days of the flood, we know, we are told, that the sexual nature of people, the improprieties that what was going on there, was on such a high level, the Ribbono Shel Olam had to destroy the world. And the Ribbono Shel Olam promises he never would destroy the world, and then right after, what happens? The Dor HaFlaga, the Tower of Bavel. Everybody was ba'achdus against the Ribbono Shel Olam, trying to make Yachal a tower that would reach him. But also during that time, there was also very difficult situation with sexuality. And there needed to be a tikkun to that. And that tikkun comes in our parshas, not quite specifically in our parsha. Tikkun number one of the Dor HaFlaga was, of course, that Hashem sent the waters that killed everyone. And in our parsha starts off Nebuch with the waters that are going to kill every single baby. One can't imagine having to put your baby into water and kill it. But of course we know Moshe Rabbeinu was a different story. And what was the tikkun for the building of the Tower of Babel? Chomus Levanim. This speaks Parsha, right? They had to work hard with bricks. Those same bricks was a tikkun for the building of the Tower of Babel. What did they build with it? Right? We learn in our parsha. Pipsum Ramses. So we know that it's 100% accurate that they made those pyramids that are still standing today. Actually, it's spoken about. Josephus speaks about this. The it's written in I forget what the Book of Maccabees, I think it's also written. Right? By Shani already, they spoke about that this was an emes. In fact, there's a story about Sadat, when they made peace, when Begin made peace with Sadat. So they took him. He took him on a helicopter tour of the beginnings of Egypt. And he said, this is the number one reason why people come to Egypt, are these pyramids. And he's showing the pyramids. He's like, I know the pyramids. Those are my pyramids. It's Jewish labor. So he's like, no, that's not true. Yeah, whatever, whatever. So he says, yeah, it's true. He says, when Jews do something, it lasts for a very long time. Right? And they laughed, and Sadat says, you're wrong, and whatever. But that was the tikkun for this. We are challenged many times in our lives with something spiritual. And the question is that how do we respond to it? We don't have to look any further to Yocheved and Miriam, Shifra and Puah, who decide to not adhere to the rules under the penalty of death and do an amazing thing and save the children. And Rashi says, Vayusel lahem batim, Hashem gave them the brach of batim, bati kahuna, v'levia malchus shekarim batim. They're going to get the brach of that from them will be Shevet Levi. Dori doris of kohanim and leches kohanim. And Mashiach Tzidkenu will come. So Rav Pinkus, in another idea, compares this to Chayilei Tzahal. Right? Not Tzvagan al Yisrael, sorry, Tzava. Right? I don't think he's talking about Tzahal. So my son just left a few minutes ago. Puts on the Madim, right? So he says it's not that easy to become a Mitztayim. It's not easy to become a Salash. I want to become a lieutenant. I want to, right? What's the easiest way to get upgraded? A war. When there's a war and you do something amazing, they say, wow, that guy, and they tell the story. NBC News now. What happened today in Afghanistan? This guy saved this guy's life. He gets a Purple Heart or whatever, or he gets, and he's promoted to lieutenant. But when it's not wartime, when there's no milchama, it's hard to show that you're a gibor. Because what are you doing? You're guarding a whatever. So he says, "V'efsharut laharut gvurato v'omitz libo." That's when a person becomes a katzin, when it's during the times of war. Kachain says Rav Pinkus b'melchemes hakodesh. When we're fighting against spiritual immorality, that's when we show who we are. Miriam and Yocheved show who they are very, very amazingly. They show the Rabbeinu Shalom what they're going to do. Sometimes we're challenged with spirituality. Are you going to walk out? When there's something that's not appropriate, you say, no, I'm not doing this. When I was in YU, the easiest, we had to take humanity. So it was art or music. There were other things, but they were really hard. So Rav Shechta asked art because they would show pictures of naked women, right? Even though it was a painting. But it was much easier than music, and I was horrible at music. As anybody who ever heard me daven. So, too bad. When you're challenged, that's the question. He just gives another example, Birchas Hananim. We make tens of many of brachas every single day. And many of our brachas is a joke. It's truncated. It's too short. It's too quick. Without kavana. The Ari HaKadosh, he writes, speaks about the kavana a person should have, machshavas of a bracha, the slowness he should say with it. That's creating a state of tahara and not tuma when we say, I don't care about what the Rabbeinu Shalom just gave me, or Chas V'Shalom not even saying a bracha. There's a hergel. Well, there's a shach on the around, right? There's a hergel in it. Chaman l'son, when somebody's an onen, they're not allowed to make brachas. You'll hear their stories of saying, I made a lot of brachas because it doesn't mean anything to me. Right? Just like the guy that hits himself during davening and doesn't realize it's slach lanu time because he's not even paying attention. He thought somebody else hit it. We have to concentrate. That's part of Kedusha of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's hard to be real with you, and I'll only do it in 2 minutes since I went a bit over time. The godless of this time is for us to stop and to work on, especially during this time of the year, right? This time of the year we get, I don't know why, because it gets dark maybe early. People get sad and they're bored and this and that. And they move to things or they watch things that are inappropriate. We have to be so careful with this. We have to set a standard. It's not easy. And people speak about it all the time. And we make jokes out of it sometimes. Oh, those charedim, they don't have a internet. They have only kosher phones. Ha ha. But what are you watching on your phones? How much time are you wasting? Are you going on social media and maybe looking a little bit too closely at what women look like? And if you have an iPhone, you know, you're able to look at it very, very carefully. These are mamish isurim of istaklus. And obviously it gets much, much worse, which I don't want to speak about, mefurosh. This is the time to work on these things. And Shovavim, as Rav Pam said this, I don't know, it always hits me that he says this. We have to believe that when we read Kriyas HaTorah, especially, by the way, when you get an Aliyah, out of nowhere you get, you know, Shlishi or Shishi or whatever. Think about what that Aliyah is about. Hashem chose you to get that Aliyah. He's talking to you about something. Every week when we read the Torah, it's talking to us. When we read Shovavim, Rabbi Yisai, we have to think to ourselves, it's talking to us. Think about our own geula that we want, the gullus that we're in. Maybe bogged down through a phone. Maybe bogged down through not doing the right thing. Not having kavana and brachas. Not having kavana when we go to sleep at night and saying Kriya Shema Lamit. We should be zoicha to that, to get out of our own personal gullus into a geula shlema. We should be zoicha that geula shlema is the ultimate geula shlema with the Mashiach Zidkenu and the Mehera V'Yameinu.